Hallelujah. Two nights. We got tonight and tomorrow night. And the Lord's laying a foundation this week that I have no doubt is going to result. The end result is going to be millions and millions of souls swept into the kingdom. The foundation that He gave me, the Lord gave me while I was praying in three days in a row. He gave me more information than I could deliver here probably in a month. So what I've been asking Him every night, and all during the day, I said, well, I need the foundation stones. What part? Because you've got to have a solid foundation with no gaps. You've got to have a solid foundation. Now, if you weren't here last night, I don't know if you're one that likes to listen to tapes or not, but you ought to get that tape.
Yes.
You ought to get that tape. And as you know, I don't receive any of the proceeds from any tapes, so I'm not saying that in order to get your money. You need it because you need it. And I don't think you'll hear it anywhere else yet. You'll be hearing it everywhere soon. Hallelujah. Now, I love the spirit that I sense in Edwin. He's come to Montrose to take it for Christ.
Yes.
We've come to the financial world to take it for Christ.
Amen, bro.
Because my Bible says, the earth is the Lord's, the fullness thereof, the people and all that dwell therein. My Bible also says, everything was created by Him and for Him. Now, as far as I'm concerned then, satellites are for Christ to preach the gospel, not for the devil and his followers to send smut all around the world. Television and all the networks are for Christ. That information came, the technology, you know, the devil has not a creative bone in his body. All he can do is mimic and imitate and pervert what he sees God doing. See? And since in the beginning when television first came out and all the preachers rose up against it and wouldn't have anything to do with it and told their people not to have anything to do with it, then Satan pretty well took it over, and that's the situation we have today. Thank God for TBN, CBN, and Brother Summerall's network and the other ones. Thank God. But just like Edwin said, there's different calls in the body. I mean, I honestly don't think I could have the same impact on Montrose as Edwin. I don't have the same gifts. I don't have the same equipment. But right on the other hand, not all churches are called to do what this church is called to do. I know LaRue. I have some idea of the call on his life. And therefore, I have some idea of the call of this church. Understand it. Now, tonight I want to review quickly just a few of the basics, what we're doing here this week. Okay? Y'all with me? All right, then extend your faith this way while I pray. Father, in the name of Jesus, we're coming again before You, Lord. Father, I'm asking You once more, because the time is short. Lay the path in front of me, Lord, that You want to walk tonight, in order to walk into the lives even further of every believer here. Lord, keep me from side trails. Keep me from extraneous things. But light the path directly in front of me, and by Your Spirit bring it forth one step at a time. Lord, make it simple where we can all understand it, but make it bold where it'll challenge our heart. And Lord, for all of these things we give You praise. And all of the people said, amen. Hallelujah. I'm going to read again a vision that the Lord gave me the day before we drove down here. I've already read this twice on tape, but this is important to get our mind going the right way and to remind us. And besides that, Edwin didn't get to hear it. Hallelujah. As I was praying this morning, my mind came upon this scenario. What if I was the only reborn human being on the earth, and there were no other people at all? How much of the earth's wealth would be available to me then? In this scenario, Jesus is Lord, and I have put my faith in Him and have been born again. However, there are no other people at all on the earth, just me. For the moment, let's say that there's also no devil on the earth either. Now, in that situation, as I begin to travel around the earth, and I see all of the great deposits of gold and silver, mountains and rivers, seas and oceans full of fish, forests full of game, yet I'm the only person on the earth, I would have to come to this conclusion. God loves for me to prosper. Look at all this abundance He provided for me, His child. You couldn't come to any other conclusion, could you? See, when Adam first had consciousness, when God breathed the breath of life into him in the garden, when his first sight was a garden of abundance, God had already prepared and provided everything he could possibly ever need. On every tree hung all of these fruits, everything that he could possibly want. There's no way you could have convinced Adam that God was not the God of abundance. But see, when you get born again in this day, you're born again into what the Bible calls a world of darkness. Because when Adam fell, Satan began reprogramming man with his mind instead of God's mind. And it's been going on for thousands of years now. So when a person like Alex gets born again today, when he looks around, what he sees is a world that's pretty much governed by the devil. I mean, even after the resurrection, you know, the Bible says Satan is the god of this world system. So he sees Hollywood having all the money they need to turn out all kinds of filth and horrible things, you know. And he sees the church financing the great outreaches for Jesus Christ with bake sales and garage sales. And this all goes into his computer, and he's going, what kind of deductions would I make from that? Then he finds the whole world system, everywhere he goes, has already been programmed in this darkness. Now, the first night, the first day that I spoke here, Jesus, it says, He came into the darkness as the light. He came to tell us there's another kingdom beyond what you can see and what you can hear and what you can feel. It's called the kingdom of God. In that kingdom, if you can believe, all things are possible. But you can only access the kingdom of light, God's kingdom, by faith. You cannot access it by works. By works, you can access the kingdom of darkness. His whole system is based on works. But only by faith. Brother Gary, can you prove that? Well, that's strange you would ask me that question. I haven't even finished reading this yet. But go ahead and open up to Romans chapter 5. Hallelujah. Now see, everything in God's kingdom, you get it one way and not two. How many of you think you can work your way to heaven? Better not raise your hand, we'll have an altar call. We all know that the only way into heaven is based on grace and grace alone, isn't that right? The finished work of the Lord Jesus Christ, you can't do anything to add to it. You can't work for one speck of your salvation, can you? We know it's by grace, isn't that right? Well, everything you get from God, healing, salvation, peace of mind, deliverance, and finances, you're either going to get it by grace or you're not going to get it. Works is not allowed in the kingdom of light. Just isn't. By works you are excluded. If you're absolutely determined you're going to work for it yourself, you're automatically disqualified from God's blessings. You can't get them that way. Now watch this. Romans chapter 5, starting in verse 1. Therefore, being justified by faith, we have peace with God through our Lord Jesus Christ, by whom also we have access by faith into this grace wherein we stand, and rejoice in hope of the glory of God. Now, how is it that we have access into the grace of God? By faith. Boy, you need to get that straight. That's the only way. It'll always be the only way. But the devil is really good at reprogramming you back into works. And in the area of finances especially, it seems like it's the one of the easiest, most common... Well, let me say it this way. It's one of the most deceptive ways you can get into works that I've ever seen without even realizing you did it. And that, you see, okay, now those that have been here for a few nights know what I'm talking about. But anyway, I just don't have time to go over that again because I have my instructions from the Lord. He is going to halfway answer your prayer, by the way. Talking to LaRue. Let me finish reading this scenario. So that man that was the only reborn man on the earth, he would have to come to the conclusion, God loves for me to prosper. Look at all this abundance he provided for me, his child. It would be impossible to come to any other conclusion. If God had wanted me to be in lack, then he would not have provided all of this abundance for me. Okay? Now let's say that the scene changes and the devil shows up suddenly on the earth like an alien from outer space. And along with him, he brings millions of people who have a nature like his own. They begin to build fences and high walls around all the treasures of the earth to prevent me from being able to partake of the abundance that my God provided for me. At the same time, Satan begins broadcasting propaganda through these loudspeakers 24 hours a day to brainwash me into believing that God likes poverty. And that I could please God by living in lack. At first, I don't believe him at all. But the megaphone is so relentless. Now, the devil's goal in doing all of this is to keep me from attacking the fences and walls that he and his followers have built. Excuse me, around the earth's abundance. The megaphone keeps blaring propaganda from the devil. 24 hours a day, it blares in my ears. There is no escape from that never-ending stream of propaganda until finally my mind begins to agree with what it's hearing. Excuse me, got something caught in my throat here. Without meaning to do it, my mind eventually crosses the line and believes the propaganda of the devil. And I change my thinking to conclude that maybe it never was God's will for me to have abundance in the first place. After all, if God wanted me to have abundance, wouldn't he do something about all of these fences and all of these walls that the devil has built to keep me from the wealth of the earth? Since God isn't doing anything about it, then it must not be his will for me to have abundance. Now that pretty well sums up what has happened to keep the wealth of the earth away from the body of Christ. That's been the devil's strategy, and he's done a pretty good job. Pardon me a moment. Thank you, Lord. Hallelujah. And whoever put that glass of water there. What are those fences? What are those walls? What are those barriers that's keeping us away from the earth's abundance? Strongholds of wrong thinking and strongholds of wrong believing. We're going to talk about it for a minute. We're going to teach on it, and then we're going to have some visual examples. Do those visual examples help you guys? All right. I saw another vision this morning. It builds on one we did earlier. That's why I brought the rock back here. Hallelujah. But I want to talk to you about strongholds. Go ahead and turn over to 2 Corinthians chapter 10, verse 4. If the body of Christ is ever going to rise up and take over the finances of this world that truly belong to Jesus Christ and not the devil, in the same way that Edwin is going to take over Montrose. Number one, everything we do has got to be based on truth and not a lie. And if you are believing lies, you're already defeated. All right? While you're turning there, let me just quote Ephesians 6:12. Now our battle is not like flesh and blood in the Old Testament, when Israel literally had to go possess the land, and they fought actual flesh and bone people in order to do it. Because Ephesians 6:12 says, "For we wrestle not against flesh and blood, but against principalities, against powers, against the rulers of the darkness of this world, and against spiritual wickedness in high places." Now, especially, let's think, isn't that an interesting name for a class of spirit being of the devil? A ruler of darkness. His job is to make sure at Covenant Worship Center in Houston, there's absolutely no penetrations of light. He's a ruler of darkness. He's assigned to this area. They're like circuit riders. They have certain areas. God only knows how many of them there are. But they're a ruler of darkness. That means their job is to make sure that the area stays in darkness with no penetrations of light. Now, our weapons are not carnal, but spiritual. 2 Corinthians 10:4 says, "For the weapons of our warfare are not carnal, but mighty through God to the pulling down of what?
Strongholds.
God has not left us without weapons. We have weapons of warfare that if we put them to use, we can start cutting the barbed wire fences and tearing down the high walls that the devil has built around the finances of this world. And if we can cut through these strongholds and barriers of wrong thinking and wrong believing, so that our mind finally can start hearing instructions from the true owner of all, the true Lord of finance, Jesus Christ himself, and we'll base our actions on his instructions and no longer be bound by religious thinking, then we can go in and possess the financial land, just exactly like Israel went in and possessed the promised land. Hallelujah. Can you see this? All right. Well, let's talk about strongholds for a minute. First of all, you should know this. In verses 4 and verses 5, one of them says pulling down strongholds. You see that? Mighty through God to the pulling down of strongholds. In verse 5, it says casting down imaginations. Both of those come from the same Greek word. I'm take my best Oklahoma shot at pronouncing this. You spell it K-A-T-H-A-I-R-O-U-N-T-E-S. Catherontes. That's how you say it in Pottawatomie County, Oklahoma. Now, that's the same word. In one verse, it's translated pulling down, and in the other verse, it's translated casting down. The literal translation of the word means to overthrow, demolish, make extinct, destroy. Barbed wire fences, high walls, fortified cities. We're going to overthrow them, demolish them, make them extinct, and destroy them. The word picture could not be more clear. From the Old Testament, it's the same as when they came up to Jericho, a walled, fortified city. And they weren't allowed to attack it physically with physical barriers, but God gave them spiritual weapons to attack those walls. And the walls of Jericho had to come down, and everything within it destroyed. In that same way, so must these strongholds of wrong thinking be totally obliterated forever from our minds, and be replaced with the thinking processes, the very mind of Christ himself. We've got to change how we think. My goal is to help you lose your mind so you can gain his. We need to lose our stinking thinking and hardening of the attitudes. and gain the mind of Christ. None of these things are a mystery to him. God the Father owns everything. As I've said several times, you'll never find, you search your Bible, you'll never find where he ever turned the resources of this world over to the devil. He gave them to the first man, Adam, for his use. Have dominion over all the works of my hands. Adam lost it through high treason in the fall. The devil came and built these high walls and fences, took it away by force because Adam didn't have the dominion to stop him anymore. But again I say, when Jesus died on the cross, positionally Adam and all descendants of Adam died in him. The whole species died. Jesus was the substitute for the whole species. Legally in heaven, when Christ died, Adam died. That's why God was free to raise up a new man, the second man, the Bible says, the last man, the last Adam, Jesus Christ. And that's why he said after the resurrection, all authority in heaven and earth has been given unto me now. The old Adam is dead. Long lived the last Adam. Hallelujah. You got it? Now, if God the Father owns everything, and Jesus has been made Lord over everything, and we're supposed to have connection, well, we do have connection to him by the Holy Ghost, where the Holy Ghost is supposed to bring the very mind of Christ to us. Let me ask you this. Do you think the Lord Jesus knows how to possess the financial land? The problem is not on his end, is it? The problem's on our end, because listen, we've had lots of help from lots of pulpits building lots of strongholds. Whether they meant to or not, the truth is, we've had lots of help. Where we went for help, we heard the megaphone of the devil. Sad to say. See, deception is not deception. Well, we got one of them back there. Glory to God. Deception, if you know you're deceived, it's no longer deception. See, the men even speaking those things from the pulpits were not trying to work against Christ. They're deceived, that's all. But I'm telling you, we're coming into the last times. One of the reasons God's raising up this church, it's time for Jesus' mind to come to his body. So that we can rise up and do what he said. How often have you heard a message on the verse that says, occupy till I come? You don't hear very many messages about that. You say, well, he's talking about salvation and getting people saved. You better read it again. No, he's not. He's talking about money in that verse. That's the one about the talents. He gave so many talents to the different ones, and they multiplied them. And the only one that was cast into outer darkness was the one that was afraid to use it and buried his in the ground. Better read it again. Hallelujah. This church is going to occupy. Amen. Glory to God. All right, I got to speed it up here a little bit. Well, not really. LaRue locked the door. Hallelujah. The Greek word translated stronghold means this. It's a fortified castle or a fortified city. Fortified. Can you picture, however you picture Jericho in your mind, it's drawing the very same picture. These wrong thought processes, these strongholds of wrong thinking, wrong believing, and wrong acting, have become entrenched in our minds with high walls, thick. And it's going to require real warfare to bring them down. The church has been buying this line for hundreds and hundreds and hundreds of years. Now, you might find this interesting. In verse 5, it says, casting down imaginations. That Greek word is logismos. L-O-G-I-S-M-O-S. The root word means computation. A computation. A computation, okay, like you take an adding machine. You have data. And from the data, you make a computation. Okay? Now, it's where we get our modern word logic. All right? And the simplest translation of the word would be reasonings. Now, think about this. Casting down computations of the mind. And obviously, he's talking about casting down wrong computations. All right? You could say this, casting down man's reasonings which have been computed from false data. Okay? The darkness, because of the world we live in, we see things. We hear things. Everybody we know that got cancer died, for example. You hardly ever see one get healed. Your mind makes computations based on that data. So when the preacher comes saying Jesus is a healer, you may have hundreds of computations in your mind from past experience that's opposed to that. You see what I'm saying? Okay. Now, if these computations are made from false data, what is Paul referring to? He's talking about the experience that man encounters while living on a planet which the Bible plainly declares is under the tutelage of Satan, the god of this world system. The Bible also plainly says that without the light of the gospel, man is blinded by the god of this world. Blindness is darkness, is it not? The natural man grows up in a world system that was designed by Satan himself. He observes events, comes to certain conclusions, brackets, makes computation from the data he observes, and the end result of those computations is what man calls truth. You with me? Truth that was derived from the data of darkness. These conclusions become the strongholds of imaginations and the high things that were made independent of God's word. And they're only based on the data of darkness. Jesus came for the express purpose of penetrating the darkness and bring us the light of God's word. He said, Father, thy word is truth. This, I'm holding up the Bible for benefit of the tape, is the data of light. You have to make your computations based on this data. Your reasonings, your conclusions have to be based on this data, the word, which is the light. In the Psalms it says, the entrance of thy word bringeth light. Okay? John 1:5, you don't need to turn there. Again, it says, the light shineth in darkness, and the darkness comprehended it not. Now, Jesus came to proclaim a message. His message was, there is another kingdom other than this kingdom of darkness. What you are observing in the natural world is not light. It's darkness. His message was, there is no darkness at all in God's kingdom. Because there is no darkness at all in God. The conclusions that you have come to from living in this world of darkness is not the truth. I have a tape called Truth Changes Fact. You ought to get one of these cards and write for it. It's free. It'll change your life. It'll change your life. Truth changes fact. And Sue's saying also, as a companion, The Unjust Judge. Those two tapes. They'll change your life. If they don't, I'll give you your money back. No, they're free. But Jesus is basically saying, I've come to bring the light of God's truth. His word is truth. And I'll just quote these two verses. And I'm leading up to something. LaRue's going, this isn't what I asked him. Yeah, we're getting there. 1 John 5 says, this then is the message which we have heard of him and declare unto you, that God is light, and in him is no darkness at all. That means if you'll take this data, what God says, and make your computations, come to your conclusions, and base your actions on this data, the Word of God, you will have light.
Amen.
Hallelujah. When we have the light, what God believes about the finances of this world, the fences and the high walls have now come down.
Amen.
And we'll go in and take the land.
Yeah.
Hallelujah. Okay, one more. There's one more picture you got to get out of these verses. Going back to 2 Corinthians 10:4-5. Now that Greek word there that's translated high thing, okay, let me get it, verse 5 here, casting down imaginations and every high thing. Now this is a very interesting word. The Greek word is H-U-P-S-O-M-A, hoopsoma, I guess, and it means an elevated thing, a barrier. Paul is picturing a high wall that's in your way. It's thick, and you can't climb over it. It's too tall, and it's too wide to go around. It has to be demolished and destroyed. You remember? Casting down? Demolished and destroyed before we can progress beyond it. It indicates that there is no point in trying alternative methods of progressing while this barrier remains. The barrier itself has to come down. You're never going to get past it. You're never going to get past it without destroying the barrier itself. And that barrier is the way we think. Our minds have to be renewed to think with the very mind of Christ. There's no point thinking we're going to succeed in taking the financial land without destroying this human logic, this high barrier made out of false computations. And until we destroy that and replace it with truth, don't be thinking you're going any further, church. What we talked about last night blew some dynamite at a pretty thick wall.
Yes.
Wouldn't you say?
Yes.
Now get this picture. Get this picture. Let's say my path, the path that God has ordained for me to progress into finances, let's say tonight represents where I'm standing. Right about where the podium is, there's a high wall which represents something that I believe that is based on false data. Maybe it was taught to me by a preacher when I was young. Maybe it's something that I acquired just from experience living my life. See, I really did have a high wall. Sue can tell you. A poverty doctrine was put in me as I grew up in a traditional church. I mean, it was impenetrable. And as I started hearing about God and started growing, really in 1980 on, got saved and spirit-filled, and started on my path towards possessing the land of finance for God, I could only come to where the wall is. There's no point in thinking I'm ever getting past this high, wide, thick barrier any other way. The wall itself has got to come down. It has to be destroyed or forget it. Now here's the problem. Some of these high walls we have lived with so long. Wrong thinking. I mean, my daddy believed it that way. My granddaddy believed it that way. My great-great-granddaddy believed it that way, and bless God, I believe it that way. Well, if that's your attitude, thank God for the progress you made, but you're not ever going past here, buddy. You're not going past that one. The way you think is going to change, or you're not going any further. You can't possess the light with darkness. You can't progress past that barrier. Change. That's called repent. And whatever Jesus, the Word of God, says about that wall, you're going to either believe that or you're just flat not going any further. Can you see the picture, the word picture that Paul painted here? All right. Let me know, Lord, when it's time. Hallelujah. Okay. Hallelujah. All right, it's time. That's why I was getting there. All right. LaRue, I'm going to need you up here for a little bit, please. Hallelujah. My friend, Ray. Okay, we're going to let LaRue be, it's his church, stand right up there. I want you as imposing as possible. All right, you're going to start over on this side. Now, who can I get as an evil, wicked person? Alex. Hallelujah. Alex, you stand right up here. Now, he's not really evil and wicked, but he's going to represent the law. Boo, boo. Now, we're going to enjoy this, but I want you to keep in mind, we're not changing the subject. See, what LaRue asked me today, what he said was, I sure would like for you to teach on the grace that was bestowed on the Macedonian church. The grace that brought them out of their deep poverty and their great affliction and ended up in the riches of their liberality. So to the point that they became Paul's number one supporters. Well, we're headed down that path. This revelation, what you're about to visually see, is the grace that they had to come to understand. And if you don't ever get this one, you're going to remain behind the wall. You've got to get it. This is what we're about to do is visually demonstrate that grace that was bestowed on them. You ready? Now, do y'all understand that there were Jews, people raised in the Jewish faith, that were born and were maybe young men like Peter before the cross, who, like Peter, were still alive after the cross? Now, those particular people were born under one covenant, and they lived to see the transference or the crossing over into the new covenant. Okay? Now, y'all see Peter here? We'll just use him as Peter. All right? And, by the way, this represents a stone, a big stone. That's for you. And he represents the law. Now, under the old covenant that Peter was born under, you could pick any, you know, or just anybody born under the law. They were not born again, did not have the nature of Christ on the inside of them. So even though with their mind they might want to serve the Lord, which most Jewish people did, I think, with their heart they couldn't. So when it came offering time, oh, I didn't bring any money. Hang on. Yeah, I got some money. Okay. Hang on, I got some money here.
$5.
He gets five tonight. Hallelujah. So when it came offering time, now at first, being a flesh creature without being born again and without having the nature of Christ on the inside of him, I mean, he pretty well does whatever his flesh tells him. How many of you knows the flesh is pretty selfish? I want what's mine. What's mine is mine, and what's yours is mine, pretty much. And I want what I want when I want it. So the law says lots of things. The law says, for example, we'll take away the money for a minute. The law says, thou shalt not commit fornication. But everything in his flesh says, yes, we will. Did you see that lady I saw? I think we'll just do that. Thank you very much. And so it starts heading that way. The thing of it is, with the law, there was also the punishment. Big, heavy stone, about 70 elders up here, and they're going, well, you can make that decision if you want to. But see, under the law, you're not really just making the decision whether to commit fornication. You're making a decision whether or not you're going to die. Because if you get caught, we're going to stone you to death. You got that principle? See, the Bible says that the law was given because of transgressions. Since God could not communicate with Ray on the inside or with Peter on the inside, with spirit to spirit, he didn't have a spirit that God could communicate with. He'd been cut off, see? So since God couldn't control Ray's actions by the Spirit, he had to impose on him penalties in the flesh. And that's what the law is all about. But don't look so strange. You do the same things with your children. If you do it, you get a whooping. Okay, we don't stone them to death, but it's still restraint in the flesh. Same principle. Well, that same thing, you can see that now with like fornication, that type of sin. Well, it's the same thing with giving. Now, you can have the five. And it comes offering time. And it says, it's time to bring your offering to the Lord. And his flesh starts doing this. I don't want to. I ain't going to do it. It's all mine. Say it was with it. Say it's mine.
All mine.
Mine.
Forever.
Mine. I want what I want.
I want what I want. When I want it.
And it's all mine.
And it's all mine.
All right. Now, the law over here says, well, now this is a very similar situation to a while ago. Now, walk right up here for a minute. If you don't come, they're coming after you. Raise that right up over his head. And picture that being about 100 pounds. Says, would you? Now, if you're free to do whatever you want, sir. However, if you do not make your offering,
yes,
him and 70 like him are going to keep dropping those on your head until you don't need air anymore. Would you like to reconsider about making the offering? Okay. That's how the law, so the priest keeps the money. Hallelujah. All right, now. Now, watch this, see, because the man was born under the law. That's the way the law operated. It had to operate that way. And see, the sad part of it was, how do I put this? The sad part of it was, he didn't really have a choice. He didn't have a choice. Not if you're born under the law. Okay? But now look, this man happened to be born right during the time of the life, the crucifixion, the burial, and the resurrection of the Lord Jesus Christ. Now, I need to do this at this point. I need you to say this. Say.
Just repeat after me. In order for God to bless you.
In order for God to bless you.
You have to give.
You have to give.
And if you don't.
And if you don't.
Real bad things.
Real bad things.
Are going to happen to you.
Are going to happen to you.
Give.
Give.
Or else.
Or else.
Get that?
Yeah.
Say, there's a curse.
There's a curse.
That if you don't give.
That if you don't give.
Bad things.
Bad things.
Real
bad things.
Are going to happen to you.
Can you
see the message?
And it was absolutely true under that covenant. Absolutely. That's called the curse of the law. Well, I mean, real bad things going to happen to you. Now watch. This same man watches during the lifetime of the Lord Jesus Christ. He happens to be there at the crucifixion. He sees what happens. He hears from the other disciples that Jesus is risen. That if you put your faith in him, you can be born again and actually become a child of the living God yourself with a new spirit on the inside of you that God can direct and control himself, communicate with himself. Now get this picture. Y'all remember the story of the prodigal son? When he came home, the father, represented here, the father says, my son has come home. He didn't call him his servant, didn't call him his slave. He says, put the robe upon him. Kind of hold that there. A robe representing royalty. He says, put a ring on his finger, representing a signet ring that he's of the royal line. Put these sandals upon his shoes. Put these sandals upon his feet. We don't want him being dirty anywhere he goes. And the father says,
you are my son.
Now lay your hands on him.
The father lay, by visual demonstration for benefit of the tape, the father lays his hands upon this man who was lost, and a new spirit comes in, something born of the Spirit of Christ himself, something of God comes into this man in his spirit. From this point on, there's direct communication, Spirit God to Spirit man going on. Can you see this? That's a pretty good blessing. Now, every one of you need to understand, when you got born again, that's exactly what happened to you. Well, the man is truly blessed. He's going, my God, look at my robes. Did you hear what he said about me? I'm his son. And he starts to leave and walk away, you know, and the God the Father says, oh, say,
oh.
Oh. Just a minute.
Just a minute.
There's more.
There's more.
There's one other thing you're going to need.
It takes money.
It takes money.
To do the Father's will.
To do the Father's will.
In the earth.
In the earth.
I have something for you.
I have something for you.
It's a checking account.
It's a checking account.
Based on my own personal account.
Based on my own personal account.
Everything that the Father has.
Everything that the Father has.
Has been turned over to me.
Has been turned over to me.
And this day I make you.
And this day I make you.
My joint heir.
My joint heir.
I hand him the checkbook.
Glory. Thank you.
Yes. Glory to God.
Yes.
Can you see that?
Yes.
All right. Yes. Now, this man says, this is just getting gooder and gooder, you know. Now, he opens the checkbook. He looks inside to see what the balance is, and it says, unlimited.
Unlimited.
Unlimited resources.
Unlimited resources.
Good to the bearer.
Good to the bearer.
For anything.
For anything.
In Christ's name.
In Christ's name.
Yes. Have you got that now?
Yes.
Now hang on to this real good. You let go of him now. So this man said, now hang on to everything now. Can you see him? Walking tall. Child of the King. Robed in righteousness. Feet shod with the gospel of peace. The signet ring of the royal family on his hand. Carrying the checkbook to Jesus Christ's own personal account. And now he sets out to go back and do business for the Father in the world. And as he goes, he runs into preachers. These preachers, they raise their rocks over his head again, and they say,
unless you give,
you will not be blessed.
You will not be blessed.
And Ray would look at him and say,
are you talking to me?
Say, get blessed.
Get blessed.
Do you see who I am?
Do you see who I am?
I am already blessed.
I am already blessed.
I'm already a child of the King.
I'm already a child of the King.
I already have the robes of righteousness.
I already have the robes of righteousness.
And I have been given access.
And I have been given access.
To the wealth of Jesus Christ.
To the wealth of Jesus Christ.
Who are you talking to?
Who are you talking to?
Hallelujah, brother. Hook me up.
Thank you. You all may be seated. Thank you very much. Let's give them a hand. One picture's worth a thousand words. That revelation is what the church does not have. And that's what makes us gullible to false doctrine. Always trying to obtain what Christ has already freely given. And as long as you do that, there's one word for that, not two. That's called works. It's also the highest form of unbelief. And it also, I'm sad to say, because of our ignorance, we didn't mean to do it. But it also counts the price that Jesus paid as an unholy thing. We just flat, our problem of entering in and possessing the financial land is exactly the same problem
that the first Israelites had in entering in and possessing their promised land. It is because of our unbelief. We do not believe what the Bible plainly says about us because we're still giving too much of our attention to the world that's programmed in darkness rather to the light of God's Word. Now, if that revelation right there, see, every one of you is in that position. You've got, from God the Father's point of view, you're clothed with Jesus' own righteousness. Your feet are already shod with the gospel of peace. The very Spirit of God is on the inside of you to communicate with you the very mind of Christ, and you have open access to everything the Father has in order to get the will of Jesus Christ done in the earth. If you believe that, if you ever come to where you believe it, no preacher ever, ever will convince you that you're going to have to do anything to get God to bless you.
Amen.
Don't believe it. It's a lie. That is old covenant, and they do it for one reason and not two, to control you and get your money. That's it. It's all about control, and it's all about money, and it's all a lie.
Yes.
Now, thank God. Thank God for the men of God. I think about someone like Edwin. Now, Edwin is not doing what he's doing on Montrose Street to get rich. You don't do that kind of stuff to get rich. But see, what makes me mad is I haven't got to ever talk with him, and I thank God for what God's done with the house and everything, but if I was to sit down with Edwin over a cup of coffee or something, I bet it wouldn't be long. We'd find out some things he could use in order to fulfill the call that God's put on your life. And see, from God the Father's point of view, Jesus Christ has already paid for every bit of it.
Amen.
And the only reason Edwin doesn't have it, part of the reason, is because the body of Christ at large is so fenced away from the wealth of this world by the doctrine of the devil and religion that we can't get our hands on it to freely give Edwin so he can do what God called him to do. That's about to change. That's about to change. Now that is the grace of the Lord Jesus Christ. Go ahead and turn to 2 Corinthians 8:9. God, I pray that that vision will never leave your mind. That little drama we did right there, I pray it never leaves you and that you continue to think on it until it's something that they couldn't beat out of you with rifle butts. Because once that revelation ever dawns on you, you'll start acting just like what Jesus said we're supposed to act like. Which rather than listening to all of these formulas that are constantly being spouted all over the land on how to get God to bless you, you will come to the place where you'll have the revelation, I am a son or a daughter of the Most High God. He has already given me my inheritance. And my job is to set about doing in the earth what the Father wants done. And what Jesus told me to do was just anything whatsoever I ask the Father in His name, He will give it me. Now that's called unlimited resources. You go directly to the Father and you ask in faith, believing the grace of the Lord Jesus Christ that the price He paid was enough for you to obtain it. That's good preaching, Brother Gary. Thank you very much. Hallelujah. Glory to God. Get this tape myself. Hallelujah. How'd you come up with all that? Core sandore Christos mandore fratolon didiste meandore brastos te tekiriandos te Christos mandore. Hundreds of hours. Praying in other tongues. Letting the Holy Spirit pass these mysteries through me. Time and time again till finally my spirit began to be educated. And the light began to dawn. as my spirit become educated, it kind of looks up at my brain and says, check this out. And it starts bringing these up one at a time. And I mean, it comes up against some barriers and high things and imaginations and things I believed my whole life. But then when I go to check them against God's Word and find out that this, sure enough, it's in there. Now I've come to the wall then. I either destroy the wall by believing God's Word or I'm going no further. Once and for all, church, you've got to get it. Just like he told Paul in the middle of all his trouble, my grace is sufficient. Now, the way that's been preached, it almost sounds like he was saying, tough it out. Not likely. Not likely. He was saying, Paul, my grace is sufficient. You'll go through everything, you'll conquer, and you'll, Paul, by his own statement at the end of his life, says, I have finished my course. I have fought the good fight. I have kept the faith. Wasn't that the testimony we all want?
Amen.
Glory to God. Yeah. Hallelujah. I don't want to run out of time, and I want to hear Edwin. So here we go. Chapter 2 Corinthians chapter 8, we'll start in verse 1. Moreover, brethren, we do you to wit of the grace of God bestowed on the churches of Macedonia. And as I mentioned the other night, that is talking about the church at Philippi. Because Paul himself said, writing to the Philippians, no other church communicated with me concerning giving and receiving when I left Macedonia, except you only. Philippi was in Macedonia, and that's the church he's talking about. How that in a great trial of affliction and abundance of their joy and their deep poverty, notice that. They ever sound like your life? Great trial of affliction. Deep poverty. But the end result, once this grace dawned on them, it abounded. They abounded unto the riches of their liberality. And if you read Philippians and the whole book of Acts, you'll find the Philippians sent Paul. They didn't only do it then. They sent Paul offerings twice in Thessalonica. They sent Paul offerings in Corinth. And they sent Paul offerings in Rome. They became Paul's number one financial supporters. How would you like to have been one of them and had all of the souls that Paul won into the kingdom on your account? Because you're the one that financed it. Romans again says, how shall they hear without a preacher? But how shall they preach lest they be sent? There are preachers, there are senders. Hello, sending church.
Amen.
Glory to God. I mean, you got preachers here too, but if I'm understanding the call, and I believe I am, this God's raising this up to be a sending church. Go possess the financial land. Send the Edwins out. Send the other ones out. Go get some more finances for the next group. Send some more preachers out. Go possess some more financial land. That's the call, if I understand it, of this church. Hallelujah.
Yeah.
Going back to the 2 Corinthians 8. Let me read verse 2 again. How that in a great trial of affliction and abundance of their joy and their deep poverty abounded unto the riches of their liberality. For to their power I bear record, and yea, beyond their power, they were willing of themselves, praying us with much entreaty that we would receive the gift and take upon us the fellowship of the ministering to the saints. Now this next verse was the key. I kept asking the Lord. I had the same question LaRue had. See verse 1, it says, brethren, we do you to wit of the grace of God bestowed on the churches of Macedonia. And I kept going, well, what grace? How do I start doing it? How do I enter into that grace? I didn't understand. I was asking the same question. And the key the Holy Ghost showed me was in verse 5. And this they did not as we hoped, but first gave their own selves to the Lord and unto us by the will of God. Now, wait a minute. Gave themselves to the Lord. What does that mean? These Philippians were already saved. He's not talking about that. What are you talking about? I remember walking the floor. This was several years ago. I was walking the floor. God, what does that mean? They first gave themselves to you. They first gave themselves to the Lord. I knew in my spirit, I just knew there was something critical here about understanding this grace that was bestowed on the churches of Macedonia. And I knew if I could find it, then I could enter into that grace by faith also. What does it mean, Jesus? These people are already born again. They already loved you, Jesus. What do you mean, first they gave themselves to you? Well, since we're talking about the Philippians, go ahead and turn over to the book of Philippians. We'll find out. Look at LaRue. He's chomping at the bit. For additional tapes by Gary Carpenter. Hallelujah. Now, every one of you would like a formula right here. Step, three steps to entering in to the grace of God. Three steps. Well, God's going to help you a little bit. There is a little bit, but there are no formulas really. But He's going to help you a little bit here. Now, what you would like is, and the reason I say that, I knew what I wanted. Lord, let me give so much, and let me do this or do that, and then I've entered into that grace, and I can go back to my football game, you know, or whatever. Okay, go ahead and turn to Philippians 4. This is how you give yourself to the Lord, Christians. He said these Philippian Christians who were already Christians, first, he said, they gave themselves to the Lord, then to us. You see that? Here's how you do it, Christians. Here's how you do it. You ready? Verse 6. Be careful for nothing. That means never worry about anything. That means once and for all, cast the whole of your care upon Him, for He careth for you. Now let me get unchurchy for a minute. That means, Alex, that you're going to once and for all finally let go of the control of your life. And you're going to turn yourself completely over to Jesus with this attitude. Lord, my life is not my own. I've been bought with a price. Whatever you say do, that's what I do. And if I live, I live. And if I live, I'll live unto you, Lord. But if I die, I'll die. And I'll die unto you, Lord. But this day, Lord, I give up all control of my own life. I'll never again, the longest day I live, worry about anything. Is that easy to do? You're going to start that and repent about 100 times a day when you catch yourself taking hold of the care again. But did you know the Bible says that it's only the care that makes you devourable by the enemy? Let me show you that. Now, I didn't have this on my notes. It may take me. Be turning to 1 and 2 Peter. I know it's right in there somewhere. Hang on here. Thank you, Lord. Y'all getting anything out of this?
Yeah.
Hallelujah. 1 Peter. Here it is. It's 1 Peter chapter 5. And for right now, let's start in verse 7. 1 Peter chapter 5, verse 7. He said, the question was, what is this grace bestowed on the churches of Macedonia, and how do we enter into it? Well, the very first instruction we read there. Yeah. But starting here in verse 7, look, he says, casting all your care upon Him, for He careth for you. Now, what are we supposed to cast on God? All of our what? Care. Now, look, you better, because look at this next verse. Be sober, be vigilant, because your adversary, the devil, as a roaring lion, walketh about, seeking whom he may devour, whom resist steadfast in the faith. knowing that the same afflictions are accomplished in your brethren that are in the world. But now notice this. He's saying you better cast your care. Cast your care on the Lord. Because why should I do that, Paul? Because the devil, as a roaring lion, he's walking about seeking whom he may devour. Now, if he's saying you better get rid of your care because there's a devil out there out to devour you, doesn't it follow that the only way he's going to be able to devour you is if you're still keeping the care yourself and trying to defend yourself? You've got to cast the care on him. If you're going to do it in your own strength, you're going to wind up being devoured. You're no match for the enemy yourself. Isn't that good? All right, casting the whole of your care upon him. Now, the verse right before that is such a misused verse. That's the reason I wanted to wait till you heard that part. Go up to verse 6. Actually, we'll start in verse 5 in the last part. For God resisteth the proud and giveth grace. What? What are we asking about? The grace bestowed on the churches of Macedonia? Now, wait a minute. God resisteth the proud and giveth grace to the humble. Okay. Well, we want to be humble, right? Because we want this grace. Humble yourselves, therefore, under the mighty hand of God, that he may exalt you in due time. Glory to God. We're good so far. And how do you do that, Peter? Casting all your care upon him, for he careth for you. Refusing to do that, according to this passage, is called pride. God's grace can't be poured out on pride. Now, if you're still Lord of your life, that's called pride. If you ever once and for all say, my life is not my own, I've been bought with a price. Lord, you and you alone, whatever you say, that's called being humble. And you cast the whole of your care upon him. Put all of your trust in him. That's what makes you undevourable. And that's what causes the grace to start showing up in your life. Now God's going to help you a little more. Go back to Philippians 4 for a minute. I'm starting my close. Philippians 4 again. This is your first step on the path of entering into the same grace. Now remember, it says, when this started, these people were in deep poverty and in a great trial of affliction. Okay? Now, so in that situation, they received this grace. They learned how to do what we're talking about. And it turned them from that situation to abounding liberality, where they became the number one financial supporters of the Apostle Paul. Now, if we can find his instructions to them, then we can do the same, can't we? Here they are. Back to that verse again, verse 6. Philippians 4, verse 6. Because he helps us here. Be careful for nothing, but in everything, by prayer and supplication with thanksgiving, let your requests be made known unto God. Stop for a minute. He might as well have said, use your checkbook, the one God gave you. In that scene we talked a while ago? See, that's how it comes. You pray to God. If there's faith in the prayer, that's like writing the check. Quiet in here now. You got it? But now watch. And the peace of God, which passes all understanding. Why is that? Why would it pass all understanding? Because everything that you see and feel and hear in this world of darkness, the peace of God will get you past it. Well, you're not going to be moved by that stuff anymore. You're not a child of the darkness anymore. Your mind has been renewed to the kingdom of light. And that brings a peace that the world just can't understand. They don't understand Gary, how can you have a ministry where you take up no offerings, you sell no tapes, and you send them all over the United States, coast to coast, and Canada to Peru, and you pay for all the postage yourself, and you don't even put in a return envelope, and you never tell a human being any need you have? Gary, how do you sleep at night? Aren't you up all night worrying? Well, now, wouldn't that be an ignorant thing to do when Jesus has already said he would be my provider? Why in God's name would I worry? I'm not so good at being a provider myself. I mean, I'm all right. But Jesus, if he's going to take over the job, I'm going to let him.
Amen.
He offered. I said, okay. Such a deal. What a country. I love this country. This country called the Kingdom of Light. I love it. Hallelujah. What a country. He'll be my provider too and give me an endless checkbook with unlimited resources. How do you get that way, Brother Gary? Well, I told you a while ago, hundreds of hours praying in other tongues helps a lot because the Holy Ghost starts explaining this stuff to you. I'm not real smart, you know. I didn't come up with this on my own. It's true. The Holy Ghost teaches it to you as you pray in other tongues. That's his job. That's what he does. Meditation of the Word helps. Confession of the Word helps. And this helps. Let's keep reading. Verse 7 again, "And the peace of God, which passes all understanding, shall keep your hearts and minds through Christ Jesus." Here's your instructions. I told you God was going to help you. Finally, brethren, in conclusion to everything I've said up to this point, and let me jump ahead, by the way, to the last line of this verse where it says, "Think on these things." Do you see those four words? Think on these things. In the Greek, that word "think" is in the imperative mode. This is not a suggestion. If you want the peace of God that passes all understanding, if you ever want to come to the place where you can be careful for nothing, never worry about a thing, but turn the whole of your care over on Him, He's telling you right here how to do it. He says, "I'm not giving you a choice. Think on it. Do it. Make effort. Do it." That's what "think on it" means. It means do it. Do what? "Finally, brethren, think on whatsoever things are true." Father, thy word is truth. He's starting you off with the same way he started the Ephesians off when they're putting on the armor of God. The first piece, that your loins be girt about with truth. Now he's giving you armor for your mind, if you will. Armor for your mind. And he's saying, the first thing, brethren, whatsoever things are true, whatsoever things are honest, whatsoever things are just, whatsoever things are pure. Does that sound like the kingdom of darkness to you? Thinking about all those things in the kingdom of darkness, of whom the God of this world, Satan himself, designed. You don't find those kind of things in the kingdom of darkness. You be meditating on all that stuff that's going on around you, you're never going to enter into the peace of God. You see it? Let me read it again. Whatsoever things are true, whatsoever things are just, whatsoever things are pure, whatsoever things are lovely, whatsoever things are of a good report, if there be any virtue, and if there be any praise, think on these things. It's not a suggestion. Do you want to come out of a deep trial of great poverty? Do you want to cast yourself first on the Lord so that you can then possess the land of finances and become the number one financial supporters of the gospel in this last day revival? The last thing he says, verse 9, those things which you have both learned and received and heard and seen in me, do it. And the God of peace shall be with you. And I wrote in the margin, and if you don't, he won't. This is going to take work. Because 24 hours a day, the megaphone of the devil is still blaring. Have you noticed? I know you guys have set out to take the land, you know. And I picked on Ray enough. This lady's real nice. I'm going to pick on her. She sets out to say, bless God, I heard that message. I went to that seminar. It all belongs to Jesus. I'm tired of the devil having all that money. I'm setting out to put my faith to work, bless God. We're going to take this financial kingdom. Sounds good, doesn't it? We're going to take this financial kingdom for Jesus, bless God, where Edwin can get the work done and all these other preachers can get the work done. I'm a warrior for Christ, and I'm setting out. Now, unless the devil died, his megaphone is still going to be blaring. Things like, we all know what you said to that lady yesterday. When you lost your temper, you know. And you know those thoughts that you had, you know, they weren't really the best thoughts. And just to sum it all up, you're really a slimy dog worm, you know. And why would God do anything for you? And about that time you hear a message on the TV in the distance. If you want God to bless you. The megaphone is still blaring 24 hours a day, and the sad part is from most pulpits and from the TV screen all the time, and it's really not much different from how the devil tempted Jesus. Well, if you're the Son of God, do this. If, when God says, done. Hallelujah. Praise the Lord. Glory to God. Glory to God. Now let me give you some practical help. You need to go through your Bible and start finding out once and for all what it really says about you. Everywhere you find a in Christ, in Him, in whom type verse, you, through Him, by Him, all that stuff. You need to take those and make a personal present tense confession about that. Things like, I am the righteousness of God in Christ Jesus. By His stripes, I was healed. All that the Father has is Jesus's. And He said the Holy Spirit would come and show me all that Jesus has. All that the Father has is mine in the name of Christ to use for my call. You see what I'm saying?
Yeah.
Go through there and start reprogramming your mind. And if you don't, nothing's going to change. Because the megaphone is blaring 24 hours a day. Not only from preachers, not only from people programmed by the world, but by everything you see pretty much around you. This world system is not the kingdom of light. Got it? But there is a kingdom of light. It's real. It's more real than your right arm. Because by definition, the Creator is more real than the thing created. Jesus, my Bible says, without Him was nothing made that was made. Got it? That kingdom of His is more real than anything you touch in this material world. And if you can access that kingdom, the grace of that kingdom by faith, how do you do that, Brother Gary? The first thing to do is put the word in your mouth. Faith comes by hearing, and hearing by the Word of God. And every time you hear yourself say it, a little bucket of faith got poured in the reservoir. And you say it again, and a bucket of faith got poured in there. And pretty soon, if you say it long enough, even Alex will believe it.
Yeah.
Then when he says it, he's not filling up the reservoir anymore. You know, we got a big dam in Oklahoma. It's a big one. It's the longest arch construction dam in the world. I forget how long it is, but it's a long one. Now, when they were building that thing, there was no power being generated. They put all these turbines in there. But even when it was completed, no power was being generated. Why? No water behind the dam. But then it began to rain, and water began trickling in, and water began trickling in. And little by little by little, the water level finally rose high enough to get above the gates of the dam. Then when the water level was high enough, they opened those gates. That water started coming through with force, turning the turbines, and I mean power was generated. When the Word of God gets in you in abundance, so out of the abundance of your heart, your mouth speaks. You won't be making confessions anymore. You're going to be speaking the Word of God in power and demonstration of the Spirit. Hallelujah! Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. Praise your name, Jesus. Hallelujah. Glory to God.
Glory to God. Yes.
Hallelujah. How many of you know from this week on that the next time someone presents a formula to you on how you're going to get wealthy with God, please don't buy into it? The Lord told me one time, He said, son, sheep are stupid. He said they do the same thing year after year after year, and they expect a different result. Because they trust so much us, the preachers. Well, the preacher said it. It has to be so. Well, there was one preacher said if you would go to Guyana and drink a little Kool-Aid, everything would be all right. And because we believe. There's only one true teacher of the Word of God, and that's the Holy Ghost. And see, in this last day and hour, just like Gary Carpenter was a truck driver. He says it all the time. He goes, I was just a truck driver who prayed. But he did make a decision one day that would ultimately change his life and affect a good portion of this world in the years to come. He said, Lord, as long as I'm in this truck, 40 hours a week, I'm going to pray in the Holy Ghost. And because you speak in the Holy Spirit, you're speaking not unto men, but unto God. You're speaking mysteries before the throne room of grace. For 40 hours a week, he was speaking mysteries of God's Word. And then 40 hours, 40 hours, and 40 hours, and 40 hours will start being the equivalent of chapter after chapter after chapter of Rhema revelation knowledge, not taught by man's doctrines, but by the Holy Ghost. And when he teaches you truth. And when he tells it to you, you don't need to go ask anybody what they think about it, because when he teaches it, you get it real good. Now, how many know in the days to come that God will go ahead and unfold the entire mystery of wealth transference for those that will pray? So when the man of God gets up and says, if you'll just give until it hurts and then start giving some more, you're going to look at him and say, I don't think so. I already know who I am. But then you give like Abraham. You know, Abraham didn't have a problem with it. He said, thou shalt be a blessing. So he just became a blessing. When you know who you are, you will naturally become a blessing to the world. Because you start hanging around God that much and start listening to him that much, he'll put the world in your heart real quick. Not the worldliness. He'll put the world evangelism in your heart. He'll put the streets of Montrose into your heart. He'll put the 1040 window into your heart. He'll put his heart of compassion, and you'll automatically start being a blessing. Yes. So we've changed a lot. Even preachers get changed. Because God comes to pierce the darkness.
Yes.
The darkness of tradition. The darkness of our own mentality and our belief system. And you'll hit those walls, trust me. So I know every one of you now are going to embark at least on 2 or 3 hours a day when the Holy Ghost. At least, you think? I'm going to start praying in the Holy Ghost. Or are you going to spend the next 20 years spinning your wheels? It's just about that simple. So let me give you this clue before we close. That when you do start praying in the Holy Ghost and start confessing the Word of God again like you have done in the past, when you get so excited, glory to God, I can't wait to get home and pray. And you start praying. Well, just remember that God of this world system, you know, He has a highly regimented army from an international level to a city level all the way down to a little individual level. To assure that that truth does not get into your heart, because when it does, He can't stop it. There's a point. It gets into your heart. He can't stop you. The truth will prevail. The Word of God will prevail. So He found that a long time ago when He studied these Christians, He said, my God, that's a new breed of people. I couldn't stop Jesus. And now He's gotten into their hearts. He says, man, I found out a long time ago. I better drum up something real quick and pull the Word of God out of them very fast. He says, the thief cometh immediately to steal the word. So you haven't met the devil. You will meet him. Just trust me on that one. And that's what we've taught at this church. You know, we decided we wanted to go into permanent change. We were tired of that change here and there. We wanted to know how to access God's word permanently. And Alex, Michael, how many of y'all know that we've been through the ringer? We started with a group, and it was cut in half after about a month and a half. But hey, you know, you pay the price to go on. So I would encourage you highly to get Gary Carpenter's tapes and follow the Holy Ghost. And while you're at it, write Dave Roberson, too. And get his tapes on a monthly basis, because both of us come out of Dave Roberson's. And like Gary said, he's the best kept secret in the United States, but you'll be hearing a lot from him in the days to come. Just trust me. Because what he teaches people is how to turn yourself over to the Holy Spirit. And then the Holy Spirit will turn you over to Jesus. And you get that formula down. Then you're well on your way to finding your calling and tearing hell up. Amen. Hallelujah.
Yes.
Glory to God.
Yes.